meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, I just did one of life's simplest pleasures. As you know, Westwood 2 is located smack dab in the middle of Culver City, which is a home of the arrow, home of the left turn arrow, home of the you cannot be trusted to turn left when there's no traffic coming. You must sit and wait to be carjacked at the arrow. Well, I just drive through them each and every time, every single time. And I would encourage everybody everywhere just to go when it's safe, turn left, just like you would do when there wasn't an arrow.
Right.
And for instance, the last 20 intersections you're at and the next 20.
And what's wrong with yield on green arrow? You know what I mean? Just yield and less green arrow, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just green arrow is there to help you, not to control you.
I did one of my best moves tonight, run a little bit late. Since I just go through the left arrow consistently every single night as if it wasn't there. And give me a ticket. It's worth it. I've been through 1,000 of them by now. It's worth $150. I also then will go around a guy who's in front of me who stopped at it. I will go around the car. I always love it when the pussy gets on the horn, too. Huh? He's starting. Hey, there's a madman on the loose. He's going somewhere. I've gotten the horn. I do this all over the city. I'm not going to sit and rot at the arrow with the rest of you retards.
Hey, what do they care?
I don't know, but they're freaked out. They're like, hey, Lassie, tell Pa there's a guy turning left. Come quick. It's like, hey, listen, pussos, you see headlights? You see anybody coming in front of you? No. So turn. Everybody turn. Please, I'll fight that ticket and win. God damn it. Yeah, and that whole, Drew and I always have a big laugh about it, because we like to make a little time when we drive. That whole thing they try to teach in traffic school and growing up in driver's ed. You know, Johnny and Sarah both left the high school at the same time and drove across. Johnny didn't obey any of the posted speed limits.
He drove like a maniac.
He drove like a maniac. They both arrived at the same time. BS. Are you high? I can get to LAX from my house in about 18 minutes if I drive like a maniac, or I can get in the back of one of these pussies driving a town car. It takes 50 minutes. And as I was saying to Drew, does this hold true for all forms of travel? An old biplane steerman from World War One, that just as fast as the Mustang?
Well,
the 550-mile-an-hour Mustang?
Only if they're taking their time and the jet's hauling ass.
Same speed and same international travels. How long did it take Lindbergh to get across the Atlantic? Take him 38 hours or something of nonstop flight? What do you do in the Concorde? 3.5 hours? Oh, wait a minute. Gee, I wonder if there is an association between the speed you travel and the time it takes you to get somewhere. Of course there is. Listen, just saw a whole big thing on the Autobahn. 15-20% less deaths on the Autobahn than we have here.
Interesting.
No speed limit, less deaths. Ooh, it's so dangerous.
Did they have an explanation for that?
Yeah, because they have a passing lane.
You stay out of that fast lane.
Stay out of the fast lane.
The quality of that road is unreal. Unbelievable.
The road is done well. They have safety, you know, barriers and stuff, and people sort of drive.
Or they get out of the way.
That's right. All right, so there's everyone. Turn left on those red lights, please. Only when it's safe, naturally, but when it's safe, just turn. Let's all do that. Let's everybody do that. Just everybody do that. Wouldn't it be great?
Civil disobedience.
Yes, just do it. We can we'd be like Rosa Parks. We wouldn't go to the back of the bus. Ooh, she's breaking the law.
How about we do it and not talk about it and alert all the Culver City people?
He's got to gather his minion.
Yeah, give me a ticket. I don't care. I'll fight it. I'm not going to sit and rot in your crappy city. Idiots.
Here we go. Adam, 20.
Yeah. I got a question about circumcision.
Yeah.
I heard something about if you don't get circumcision by a certain age, you have a high risk of getting an infection or some crap like that.
It's really just more painful.
Just more painful.
Yeah.
You mean,
an uncomfortable procedure.
Oh, you mean if you get the circumcision when you're older?
No, if you don't have a circumcision.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I beg your pardon. So, yes, there are higher risks of certain kinds of infection, particularly warts. That's one of the theories right now.
Take the ball.
You want the article?
Yeah, go ahead.
Right,
yeah. Right. Don't scare him, Drew.
Don't scare him. Oh, man, it's just something.
Higher means something as opposed to nothing, but not high.
In our study, male circumcision was associated with a reduced risk of penile HPV infection in men.
Reduced.
We also found an inverse association between circumcision and the risk for cervical cancer among women whose partners engage in sexual practices.
Well, that's the warts thing.
Yeah. So,
but it's reduced. But that's the whole point. What's reduced? Then look, here's what I'm saying. Drew.
Yeah.
If you're buying your wife a new car, and it's a $43,000 car, and somebody says, we've reduced the price to $42,996. Are you happy?
It's reduced.
It's reduced. Come on, buddy. This big news. Big news. No. You say, who cares, right? Thank you. Adam?
Yeah.
Once again, I've beaten Drew. Drew or Tally by punching the mic. What do you want?
What about in bed? Like, you know, they're always saying circumcisions are, like, better in bed.
No.
You're circumcised.
Look, here's what you need to do. Here's what everyone needs to do.
Relax.
I'm going to straighten this right up. Yes.
Relax.
Every guy who's focused on their penis has a problem.
Yeah.
All these guys.
And it's not their penis.
No. And these queer baits who want to sue their parents and stuff, and these guys who are into foreskin restoration, and anybody who focuses too much on their penis has a serious problem as a male. Whether you want to enlarge it, you want to restore the foreskin, whatever it is, there's something wrong with you. Here's the deal. If you're uncircumcised, you're fine. You got a little maintenance. Got to keep it clean. It's all right. Keep you in the shower. Pull the skin back. Give it a little cleaning. And you're fine. Now, as far as what you're getting sexually or what you're missing, you'll never know. It's like, what's it like to be black? What's it like to be short? What's it like to be tall? You don't know.
It doesn't make any difference.
You are you. That's it. Get on with it.
It's not a big deal.
Thank you. Kendall?
Yes?
You're 33.
33.
What's up?
We just got a TENS unit.
Oh, boy. All right.
Is that bad?
It's love lines, so I'm just imagining where this is going.
Oh, no. Well,
what'd she say?
It's a TENS unit. It's a transdermal electrical stimulation. Yeah, it's a decreased pain.
To bring home?
Yeah,
but that's not why we got it. So my boyfriend used it on my nipples today, and it was awesome. So I wanted you to do it to him, but he has a nipple ring, and we wanted to know if that would cause any problems.
Well, Drew, your impulse is right. Now, what would the legitimate use for this device be, Drew?
Before you say that, I like the way she goes, oh, no, nothing like that.
Nothing weird. He's just clamping on my nipples.
No, I was saying we didn't buy it for pain.
Pain management, I see. It's pain management.
It wasn't for pain.
All right, quiet down. What is that, Drew?
It's a pain management device.
TENS unit?
Yeah. I really don't know how they work. They stimulate the nerves in such a way that decrease pain perception.
And is it have to do with rehabilitation, too? Like that kind of thing?
Chronic pain, usually.
But nothing in the rehab department?
The rehabilitation? What do you mean rehab?
There's those muscle stimulators that they put on. You know, they strap on a muscle if an athlete hurts his muscle that shoot the impulses to it, you know?
It's not to retrain muscles, no.
All right. It's
a decreased pain perception.
And what do they use it for when they're trying to keep people off drugs?
Yeah, just people have chronic pain, uncomfortable. It's just one of the things you can try. People try acupuncture and TENS and all kinds of things.
Okay, and how much are one of these units? Do you rent them or something?
Usually rent them, yeah.
And what about those copper bracelets that I see Evel Knievel wearing? Does that do anything at all? Says the man never felt better in his life.
Yeah,
shoot 18 rounds of golf.
Been disproven.
Oh.
You're saying
wearing a coat hanger around your wrist doesn't cure you if you've had spinal fractures? How dare you? Where do you get off, Drew? You could be sued for that. Kendall?
Yes.
So
he
put this electrical thing on your nipples.
Yeah, and it was great.
Well, what did it feel like?
I don't really know how to describe it. It's just like little tiny electrical shocks, but... It was really great.
All right. It's
like electrode things, you know?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys don't have any kids, do you?
No.
Good. Good girl.
So you don't know if his nipple ring will
cause like a spark?
Yeah.
Give it a try.
I. It doesn't sound like a great idea, but why does that be directly over the nipple? I mean, it creates a current, so
right.
Why not nearby?
You need something to clamp it onto.
No,
well,
it's a pad.
They're, like, they're sticky. Pads. They stick to you.
Yeah, just stick it on his chest. Oh, I don't know. But, hey, do that 9-volt battery thing on your coup. See if that works. All right?
We'll try that.
Why don't you have any kids?
Don't want them.
Really?
Nope.
You seem like the kind of person who may have had one or two, though.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Nothing wrong with you?
Nope.
Oh, Adam, well done.
Just knock some, just knock some water
you
on
your rarely do
well.
That.
I know, very rare for me.
I didn't have a good relationship with my father. Don't see any reason to pass that on.
All right.
Good
That's
girl.
Very good.
Congratulations.
Hey, God bless you. And listen, I got nothing against your type. Your dad screwed you up, and you spend the rest of your life putting jumper cables on your nipples, but you know you're screwed up, and you're not having any kids. God bless you.
That's right.
That's right. All right. That's fine. There's two types of screwed up. One type of screwed up wants to have kids, and the other type of screwed up doesn't want to have kids. The problem is it's 99-1.
Very rare in the latter.
Right.
It's like a shadow of some kind of a gnome or something. Look at this thing.
Yeah, it looks like a frog or something. I spilt a cup of water in here, and it's taken on the form of, it's the Virgin Mary.
It's Yoda or something. Yes, Virgin Mary. It is.
They had another Virgin Mary. Spotting like on some fence, somewhere. Oh, I love it. I love it when those folks see it in a tortilla. And by the way, shouldn't those folks be rounded up and have the kids taken away from them? You got some mama who sees the Virgin Mary in a tortilla. No, no insanity there.
Meds. Not necessarily take the kids away. Medication.
Yeah. Hey, as I've said, and here's the thing, by the way, and then we're moving on. Again, I want extreme religious zealotry seen as a psychiatric condition because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Somebody.
What's psychiatric symptom?
Well, look, people are talking to aliens or think they're Napoleon. They're nuts. Everyone knows it. That's what we label them. They hear voices, whatever. Somebody who sees the Virgin Mary in a tortilla, we treat them with a certain degree of reverence.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, I can see. It does kind of look like her, though that just could be a piece of husk. But whatever your belief is, baby, it's good. You're entitled to it. We don't just call these guys nuts with the rest of them, really? It's gotta put the kid gloves on to deal with these folks? Really? That seems like a good plan to everybody, huh? Just don't want to just throw them in the nut heap with all the Napoleons and the guys who are worried about crop circles. Just can't just toss them. Can't just toss them in that same pile, huh? They get their own thing. What are they? They have diplomatic immunity? They're just nut jobs. Please, Chris.
Yeah.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I was wondering. I'm pretty sure I prefer masturbating over being with a woman.
Yeah. Well, you know, like they say, sex is good. It's just not the real thing.
Well, you know, my point is, you know, I can just paint a much better picture in my mind if you know what I mean. You know.
Yeah. Then he does a little spin art on his belly to finish himself off. Speaking of painting.
Better than what? Are you not able to find something that's satisfying to you in real life?
No. I think, yeah, maybe.
Why don't you work on that?
Well, I have been, you know. It's been going on for quite some time now. It seems like no matter what I do, you know, I can just I just feel so much better when I masturbate rather than having sex with a woman.
He lives in Alaska, too.
Let me ask hypothetically, and I know where Chris is going to come down here, but I'll ask Anderson and Brian and Drew.
Dare you?
No, hypothetically, and oh boy, I know where I'm going to land on this. Would you rather be with a woman who was a little less than what your mark was for attractive? Not necessarily. I'm not talking about a fork sticking out of her forehead or something, but I was talking about didn't flip your cookie, or just a honker in with a nice DVD. And I know there's variables. There's things, but they're different sets. Like, I'm a guy, and Chris is a guy. I'd rather sit down with a DVD that he'd like to get a look at than be with someone who he wasn't really.
But I think the
not
reason,
repulsed by, but really not that into.
But I think the reason you go that way is because what would be satisfying about being with a person would be the closeness and the relationship. And then as a male, you think also, oh, God, what's going to come with that? I'm going to have an obligation.
I'm putting all that aside. I'm talking about just having an orgasm. And, Drew, you're a man of infinite passion.
Infinite
passion. And so I know you would probably come down on the side of, and most guys, I'd say most guys are this way, that you just you really can't beat the real thing if and we're not talking about just, you know, someone who's morbidly obese and got out of the burn unit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But, decent, you know, 5.5, 6, whatever. Not your cup of tea, but any port in a storm kind of thing. That's me. I go porn route almost every time.
Mm.
You know, that's me. Anderson, where do you land here?
Yeah, I'd be hunkering down.
You go for the porn, or you
if
go...
If it's a good porn, though, too, that's another thing.
Well, it's good porn.
Okay, good porn with all, like, 9s and 10s in there?
Well, I mean, you can't take your own porn. You can't make your own porn. You can't have, like, Claudia Schiffer and Elle McPherson going at each other.
Time, yeah.
But
I'm hunkering down.
You're hungry now. Not going with the female. Even nothing wrong with the female.
I don't do 5.6s ever.
Oh. Yeah. Anderson has it, but bizarrely high taste. I'm not sure where he got that. I think it's compensation. And Brian, where are you coming down here? You going with the porn?
She's a 5 or 6. Oh man, I'm taking that.
Yeah.
Brian's boy. Like,
yeah. No, I just mean,
I can't get away from the human part. I can't.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Whatever the scale is, she's a little bit off of what you'd like to see.
I understand the question you're asking.
We've all been there too. It's not like we haven't been there before. It's no big deal. Just a little bit off of what you normally like. Yeah. And Drew's a man of great passion. Drew likes the real McCoy.
But I'm struggling with this.
But probably the sanest of the bunch. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Now, some guys just have that appetite.
Mm.
And these guys have a lot more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go, I need this type, I need that type. She better be this or she better be that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like women. I mean, here's what it becomes. It becomes like food, which is, look, I'm not going to eat at Spago every night. I got to eat. I'm hungry. I'd like it to be decent. Right?
Yeah.
There's a little element of that.
Insane people, yeah.
Well, I mean, no, you can go out and go to Tavern on the Green and enjoy that once in a while, yeah. But it's a Wednesday night. I got to get something in my belly.
Yeah.
Let's get going. Yeah? All right. Where were we?
Talking to Chris.
We're talking to Chris?
Do we finish with him?
I don't know. He likes beating off more. Oops, more than he likes a woman.
The question is, have you ever had a relationship, Chris?
I thought you guys forgot about me.
No. Chris, you ever had a relationship?
Yes, I have.
How long did that last?
About 4 months.
4 months, and you're
23.
Yeah, right. 4 months, your longest relationship. And, you know, I think there may be some sort of deficiency in that department.
Yeah.
We're really.
Don't get me wrong. I like looking at, you know, the porno movies and pictures and stuff, but
yeah,
to the point where I'd rather just, you know, close my eyes and just picture something. And I mean, just the feeling that I get from that is so much more than I've ever gotten.
Yeah, but.
But
listen,
if you're with somebody,
if you're with the right woman, I don't think you'd have that.
And or if you could have someone help you sort of recreate that in some fashion.
Yeah. Give it the woman you love, close your eyes,
I think there's more of a deficiency here, I suspect, with your ability to form attachments and be intimate and that kind of thing. And
what are you doing in Alaska?
Not much, really. Not much to do.
Did you move up there or did you grow up there?
Just moved up.
Why?
Just I had some friends up here and figured I'd come up, didn't have much else going on down in the States, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is, you're not doing anything, yeah. So you're not able to get any chicks. So, of course, you run a beat off. It's like,
well, I just came up. So.
Yeah, we came up because nothing was going on.
Yeah, nothing going on.
Well, that's exactly right. So I came up for a new scene.
Yeah, but if nothing's going on, it's hard to attract women.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, but listen, guys, you got to get something going. Here's the deal with men. Women are bred to hang out. They're like lap dogs. Not gonna be a big deal. Guys, you gotta work, you gotta pursue, you gotta screw, you gotta do stuff. You gotta move. You're like a shark. You keep swimming. You'll start getting depressed, start getting weird, then you start getting old, you immediately just start masturbating. And over there it freezes as it comes out of your penis.
Nice.
You have to snap it off.
Nice.
Kind of nice, though. I mean, it's
cleaner.
Yeah.
No Zamboni necessary.
No Kleenex.
Oh.
No, it comes out, it freezes, You just snap it off.
You don't snap. You just unscrew it from your penis.
No, you just snap it. You just snap it at the urethra, right there, right, the head.
You know, something might be still inside then.
Well, the last inch or so is just starting to thaw. So you pull that out. And then what I do is I just bust it one at a time, like rods of glass, over the edge of the sink.
Oh, the sink. I see.
Yeah, snap, snap, snap.
Nice.
Yeah.
Quite an image.
Thank you. Let's talk to Davey, who's 25. Davey?
Hey, how you doing?
Davey?
Good.
Shall I start?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, questions mostly to you, Dr. Drew, because it's kind of a medical one. My girlfriend and I, about maybe 3-4 months ago, had this just ongoing joking bet about that drug Boosteon. Are you familiar with it?
We don't believe it.
It works.
We're calling it bogus.
It works, though.
What, Drew? What is it?
These sort of herbal pills or large breasts that are out there.
Oh, makes your breasts big?
Yeah.
All right. Dave, you're bored with your own question.
Well,
you've run out of steam on your own question.
Your own bogus question.
Yeah. You got bored halfway into it, just like we did.
How can I, what it is my girlfriend has taken it.
Uh-huh.
And they're bigger.
Uh-huh.
But she took it unbeknownst to herself because I slipped it to her.
Yeah. You're smooth, Dave. That's why you get the big bucks. If you count $9 an hour, it's big bucks.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right, Dave, I'll let you get back to your hard work, all right?
Obviously bogus.
I know.
All right, take a break. Let's go back to
No, listen, people are horrible actors.
What I found interesting about him is that when he realized we were on to him, he started, like, slowing down and watching our moves. And he wasn't delivering the story anymore. Now he's like, uh-oh, they're on to me. What am I going
to
do?
Well, I had to know it was bogus because one of these BS herbal products worked. It's herbal. It's the whole herbal way. Make your dork bigger. Make your boobs bigger. Make you smarter. Yeah, you can exceed in business. It's one of these herbal products, everybody. Listen, forget about this herbal crap, everybody. Please. Just, look, if it works, it works. If it's, what's the deal with the herbs? Everyone's so in love with these herbs. Please. I want real stuff.
No, that you might have made the point that they've been using China a long time.
Yeah.
If it was working so great, why did they need to evolve beyond that?
No. Chinese, no. They know. They got the cure to everything over there. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be back.
This is Anthony Kiedis. You are listening to Loveline with Adam and Dr. Drew. God bless you and your whole damn crew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Yeah. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Let's, went to the dentist today, Drew.
No. Again. Yeah. You got a tooth in?
Yeah. No. It's going to take a while for the post they put in me, but tooth behind it's got to go, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, got the same root canal. Didn't work out.
Oh, my God. So why didn't they bring this up a week or so ago when they were in there drilling?
It didn't matter. They had to pull the one tooth and put the post in.
They do it one at a time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was at my new dentist today, and he was like, well, they put the post in, yeah. Did they sedate you? No, they didn't. Oh, really? Yeah, they didn't. Oh, well, we would recommend that. Me too. Yeah. So I like the way that's just there's just crazy wide variances between what people do. Like there's some guys like, hey, we'll give you a bunch of pills and a shot in the ass. The other guy, you have to wrestle him to get the nitrous out of his hand. So anyway, the other tooth it's gotta go get the post.
That's fantastic.
Good times though.
Good times.
And let me say this too. Drew.
Yes, sir.
I know you've never heard me talk about dentistry, but...
No. It's very exciting for me, though.
I got another cavity beside, and by the way, I'm excited when I got a cavity.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have to pull the tooth, nothing, no root canal, no oral surgery, but here's the deal. And all dentists do is beg you to do it. Just floss and brush. Brush and floss. Floss and brush. Brush and floss. Are you flossing? Did you floss? Did you floss today? You're flossing now. Your hand, I don't see your hands in your mouth, Mr. Corolla. You're not flossing as we speak.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been doing nothing but getting regular teeth cleaning, flossing, and brushing for the last 8 years. You know what I'm saying?
No, for the last 4 years. Then you let it go for like 20 in between, right?
No, I started going to the dentist.
8 years ago?
Oh, 7 years
ago. 7 years
ago,
okay. But there's 20, you know.
I never had insurance.
This is the equivalent. I know.
I would go to the dentist periodically, like every 5 years.
This is the two-pack-a-day smoker after 20 years going, now I'm going to the doctor. Now he tells me I have all these problems. I do take his medicine. Things are worse.
No, because how dare you? Because 6-7 years ago when I was at the doctor, I was at the dentist, I didn't have the next 8 cavities I've gotten. The cavity I got to get filled next time I go is not 10 years old.
Must be all this high living you've got now.
No. Here's what I'm saying. I got a bad hand dealt to me genetically from the tooth department.
Yeah.
There's people who've never gotten a cavity.
Right.
And then there's Mr. Brush and Floss who goes to the dentist every 4 months and then gets a cavity.
Right.
I don't eat more candy than anybody. I probably eat less of that sort of thing.
I wonder if that whitening procedure you went through put you at risk or anything.
No.
No. You asked that?
Well, he did it, so I'm assuming he's not going to cop to it. And I had the thing done a week ago, you jackass.
Okay, all right.
I think I got the cavity on Wednesday last week.
All right.
Listen, this is what I'm saying.
Have you been home in the last 2 weeks? You've just been sitting in the dentist's office the entire effing time.
I told at one point, I told him to put wheels on the chair, and he towed me. He towed me through Hollywood, and then he dropped me off my house, but I never did get out of the chair.
Oh, good. That's good. At least got home.
Hey, here's what I'm saying. If you got a bad dental hand dealt to you,
you
got a bad dental
hand. It's like anything
hand.
Else, yeah.
Like anything else.
Yeah.
Hey, you're wearing, I don't need glasses.
Right.
Why? What was it? I do eye exercises. You burnt yours out reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Here's what I'm saying. We have to contribute something to everything in this society.
Right.
Untrue. I got cavities because I got cavities.
Yeah.
But I haven't lost my hair. Why are guys bald? Mm-hmm. Thinking too hard?
No, you're right.
Yeah. Thank you. Goddamn tooth thing's exactly the same. Kimberly,
we finished up with last night, remember?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Here, let's start all over again. So
you're
go
27.
Ahead.
Yeah, I just want to start by saying thanks for taking an interest in letting us continue this conversation. And I've heard you guys before, and I'm just looking to hear, just some straight words, like reality check. And
all right, well, let's go over it again.
What did she tell you?
What happened? Your mom... You confronted your mom. You were going to have a phone conversation with her that sort of spiraled out of control, right?
Yes.
And in the course of that conversation, you sort of brought up the fact that she'd been emotionally and physically abusive to you.
Right.
And then what
and
happened?
She just she told me everything I really didn't want to hear was excuses and reasons why she felt it was necessary to abuse me the way she had. And all I wanted was an apology and for her to realize that, hey, you don't treat kids that way.
Were you able to ask for an apology?
I wasn't asking for an apology. I just carried out the conversation. And to be honest, I wasn't expecting it. This is something that I sat down and thought, okay, sit down and talk to my mom about all the...
This doesn't mean anything to any... Hold on. So the phone line is just off enough, and Kimberly's just off enough.
It's hard to
connect. Really make this really ungratifying for everyone listening.
But
so, what do we need to do?
All right, Kimberly.
Kimberly,
why didn't you ask for? Why didn't you stop her and say, "I don't want to hear the excuses. I just need to hear that you apologize for this."
Because to be honest, I didn't have a game plan. I didn't.
All right, it blindsided you. So now you can go back. You don't want to hear excuses. They're BS. You know it. She's protecting herself against guilt and shame. Let her have that, but go back and say, for me, I need to hear it some sort of apology.
I don't know.
But even that, I think you'll find is ungratifying because, as we mentioned last night, going back and confronting your abusers does not change the wiring in your brain that they've left you with.
No.
It doesn't. No. And that's the problem, is that somehow that's going to magically, the skies will open and this will all be lifted from you. No, it's not the way the human brain works.
No, well, here's what it's here's what it's like. It's like you got T-boned at an intersection, and you need to talk to the other driver and get him to admit he did it on purpose.
And he broke your legs and your spine.
The car screwed up. That's it.
But even if he comes in, right, it's not even your car. How about your body was damaged?
I'm just saying, okay, your body's damaged. You broke your pelvis.
Yeah.
He admits that he did it on purpose, or he admits that he's sorry he did it, or he admits he drunk. Whatever it is he says, however many times he apologizes, whatever.
Change,
this is broken. You still got to go through rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Same emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, my mom has been trying to get this out of my grandma for about 1,000 years.
Oh, has she talked to you about that?
She tries all the time.
But does she talk to you about it, though?
I guess, yeah.
Oh, how around. Unsatisfying.
Unsatisfying for who?
For your mom. Oh, I sat with your grandma at your wedding.
Yeah, you're not getting anything out of her.
You were getting nothing.
No. No, I know. And you know, so why even try?
That's the problem.
Don't try.
Yeah.
And listen, this is a female trait, by the way. This is not a male trait.
Men do a little bit. There's a book out there called...
Gay men do a little of it.
There's a book out
right.
there called Why Is It Always About You? That talks about how to deal with narcissists.
Here's the deal. Men get affected this way. Then they go through their life shut off, angry, or what have you, or they become aggressive, or they go gay, or they go do well in business, or they do all the above. But they don't go back and try to get an answer out of the person. It pushes them, it propels them, it may even haunt them, and it certainly affects their relationships and their life, but they don't get focused so much on getting the answer out of the person because they usually realize that it's not going to make it.
Do you
different.
Think they realize
not,
it? Are they just, no. Are they just avoidant?
It's just...
They're just avoidant.
Whatever it is, it's right. I don't want to make it an attractive quality that men have getting them out of it.
Yeah.
Women get hooked into this and spend the rest of their life pursuing it. And it's like you're chasing Sasquatch through the Northwest or the North. Where is it? Northwest? Yeah, that's where Sasquatch is.
I just think about Sasquatch. Isn't it interesting how when the guy comes forward and said, "Hey, it was me. Here's the big feed I use." No press. When they first find the feet, it's a worldwide phenomenon. They find the footprints.
Right.
When the guy comes up and says, "My joke. I'm on my deathbed. I'm telling you."
Right.
No, not interested.
No.
What is that? What's the matter with people?
Yeah. And by the way, shouldn't we have killed him?
Yeah.
Like, he's on his deathbed. Shouldn't we just start caning him or gotten a...
Quickly.
Didn't one of those prison things where you take a pillowcase, put a bunch of bars of soap in it, start beating the ass out of the guy? Like, what about... You know this part where people just say stuff at the end of their life? They're like, yeah, well, I killed 6 men to watch them die about 60 years ago. Shouldn't we just put a bullet in their head as fast as we possibly can? Like, where I was like, well, old timer, you came clean. God bless you. It's like, I was proud of him, you know? All right. The guy's dead now, though. That's the important part.
That's right,
right,
yeah.
All right. Victoria?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I am calling in reference to the question about the electricity. I have one of these TENS units, and I've used it many, many times, and her boyfriend's nipples will not explode.
Why do you have a TENS unit?
I'm a professional dominatrix, so I use electricity a lot as a means of torture.
Well, maybe torture, but it's supposed to be feel good.
Right, and you can change the intensity. I mean, it can be really pleasurable, because they're intended for muscle atrophy patients, like patients that have, you know, had a stroke or something like that, so it can be more of like a stimulant sort of sensation, or you know, you can change the intensity so it's just all out painful.
Well, wait a minute. Does this TENS unit, do they make more than one unit?
What do you mean?
Are there units for different kinds of problems?
No, it's just all one thing, and then people can use it for different things, and
by
there's
the way,
little
dials. Do they make more than one unit? Right? What does that mean? What do you mean?
Intensity.
Well, what I'm saying is this, you say this thing is for atrophied muscle.
Correct.
Maybe there is some setting they can use it
That's
for.
What I was saying that to Drew, but he shot me down.
I've never.
Interesting. No. Touche.
I'm wondering if that's really a TENS
Noted.
Unit. Then.
Noted. How do you know it's a TENS unit?
It says it on.
All right. Well, TENS is a pretty generic term, so.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I'm saying. Is that the name of the company?
No, that's just the actual. It's the acronym for the official scientific name of what its function is. But a lot of different companies make them. You can get them at.
All right, and is this you know, those things that were all the rage a couple of years ago, where it's like your stomach thinks you did 8,000 sit-ups, you never leave the sofa because they give you these impulses. Is it that sort of thing?
No, it's not. I mean, that just It's a different sort of electrical impulse that it emits. And with the TENS units...
No. But what I'm saying... All right, forget it. You're dominatrix. What the hell do you know? What happened to you?
Nothing.
Please.
No.
Well, look, here, you got two choices. Well, either you were molested or you're fat. Which is it?
Neither, actually.
Something. Well, okay. No, I'll give you three. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, or morbid obesity. Which is it? That's the only three things that get you to be a dominatrix. Now, which is it? Which is it? Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're not counting 5'3", 205 as fat. Now, what's going on?
Nothing. Nothing.
What's your dimensions?
I am 5'10" and I weigh 135.
Aha! You're pig. You're going to keel over any moment now.
Yeah, I'm huge. You know, what
yeah.
do you do?
All right. Do you have a special van to get around in? How do you get around?
Cars generally work for me.
All right. And what happened? What'd your dad do to you?
Nothing, actually.
Nothing. Aha. Uh-huh. I knew it. That's just it, isn't it? Didn't know you were alive, did he?
No.
Who beat on you?
Nobody beat on me.
Well, what happened? What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I
How'd
doing?
How'd you become a dominatrix?
I was a fetish model, and then I just became interested in it, and thought it just rolled from there.
Now, I don't think we believe you for a second.
Well, you can or you can't. You know, that's just the way it works out.
So. Yeah. And by the way, these are number one answer of liars, by the way.
You can believe it or not.
People are going to say what they're going to say. People are going to think what they're going to think. I can't change your mind. That always means guilty, by the way, to me. That's all killers say that when they get interviewed. Victoria?
Yes.
All right. So, what do you look like?
I am Native American. Mm-hmm. I have long black hair.
Yeah. Dad into the fire water, huh? Please. You tell me you had the one Indian dad who didn't drink?
No. My father is not.
Mom, what's your dad?
He's Hispanic.
Hispanic?
Yes.
Uh-huh. No count. I see. And your mom?
She's Native American.
What's she?
She is Cherokee.
Uh-huh. That gives her tenacity.
Yeah.
What's she? Is she she'd tell you, like, not to use the hair dryer, and you'd fire it up, and on the tomahawk go flying and stick it to the mirror? Like that kind of stuff?
No.
She was a big boozer, though?
Huh? Nobody's a boozer in my family.
Really? Pills then, huh? All right. And so what happened? You had the Mexican dad and the Native American mom.
Yes.
And you went to high school. Everything was good.
Yes.
And you got out. You started doing some modeling.
Yes. And college.
Now, how much, what kind of college?
University.
Which one?
UCLA.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. And now, how much you get an hour for the dominatrix stuff?
It depends on, you know, if you work at like a club or if you do private, you know, private sessions. I work at an actual house. And
remember we had the people from a house.
Yeah.
Passive Art Studio.
They were talking about the guys that dress up like ponies and pull the prints.
Yes, we have an equestrian track.
You have an equestrian track?
Oh, my God.
Guys crapping in a canvas bucket, strapping their ass.
But they pull Cinderella's chariot behind
them. All right, hold on, Victoria. We got to talk more.
Okay.
All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the little equestrian thing. These guys, just like fat businessmen, pulling a little, prancing, looking like one of the Budweiser Clydesdales.
Oh my God! You seem to be getting into this a little bit, Adam. It's scaring me. Let's get going here.
Oh my God!
I know it's sad.
You know, I tell you. You know, here's what my fantasy is. My fantasy is to go to like one of those dominatrix things, and I go, yes. And then you got to call Miss something. What do you call dominatrix? You give them a name. You know, you don't call them by their first name or something. I get into about halfway into it. I go, all right, now give me a BJ, bitch. And she's like, you've been naughty. I'm like, yeah, start blowing. You're on the clock. Get down there. She's like, you'll not address Miss. And I'm like, yeah, shut up. Get down there. Start blowing. I'm turning the TV set on. A set of beer right on top of your head. That's my fantasy. My fantasy is the worm turn. I get shackled for about a half an hour taking a crap from that screwed up broad with her cat of nine tails, and then I turn on her. Now it's sodomy time. All right, we're going to take a break.
Here we go.
We'll be right back. Yeah. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. We're speaking to Victoria when we left off. She's 22. Apparently attractive. Dominatrix. Uses one of those electric chargers. Give a little nipple zap.
How big is the equestrian track?
It's pretty large. Probably about half the size of a basketball court.
Mm-hmm. No.
Large enough so that you can take carts around and do a fairly good lap.
And now when the guys, and this is what goes on the dominatrix at the quest, is there wagering on that? Any paramutual wagering?
If there's other ladies around and they want to get in on it, then yeah, we do.
Do a little gambling like
Hollywood Park.
Larry Tate is racing the other fat guy and the boss from WKRP in Cincinnati. See who's going to win.
Yeah, make the big guys work, you know.
And when they pull the cart around, are they on all fours? Or?
No, there are carts that are fashion, so they can be on all fours. But no, mostly they're on, you know, standing up straight, holding on.
They're prancing at them.
Yeah, they're prancing. They have to lift their knees high and like a good pony, like that.
And now, how much now? If you and I were going to get together for a session, how much would it be?
$160 for an hour.
$160 for an hour.
Right.
That's not bad. And, like, how would it work? I mean, let's just say we never met before. I told her I wanted the full treatment, but I had no special fetishes other than the dominatrix thing.
Okay.
How would it work?
Well, I would want to find out more about your specific interests.
Well,
both be enjoying it.
I like a general ass kicking with an emphasis on sack abuse.
Okay. All right, then, you know, I'd get my equipment together, and, like, my specialties are torture and corporal punishment, so I'd probably put you through the ringer with that.
Uh-huh. And what would I be wearing?
Nothing.
Oh, I get totally naked?
Yes.
Oh, really? And you wear something shiny with leather?
Yeah, of course it's leather, latex, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you get aroused, too, in this thing?
No, not professionally, no.
Not really.
And you said we both would enjoy it.
Right, but I do enjoy these things. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual thing for me.
Right, just because the dude's nude and you're taking a cat of nine tails to a sack doesn't mean it's a sexual thing.
No,
I understand.
No, I'm interested in the mutual enjoyment of things.
Right, all right. So now I'm, and by the way, you know, it's always a little weird. Like, hey, listen, when my session ends with my shrink, it's a little weird. I can imagine the session ending here. He's down on all fours. He's weeping. He's spreading his cheeks. He's saying, thank you, ma'am. I have another. And you're like,
we have to stop now.
Larry? Yeah. We got to cut it short now. And it's like, all right, Sam. All right, Bob. See you next week. I mean, how does this go? Like, how do you cut it short?
Well, I mean, you know, we can time it and everything. And,
right.
Usually I try to plan these certain activities around.
Yeah, we're trying to get a little
like
bill.
Around the time so that, you know, if I'm going to be doing heavy, heavy work on somebody, it's going to come towards sort of the end so they don't have a whole
heavy
lot of time.
Work.
Now, what about the guy's orgasm? Does he get to have one of those?
I usually don't allow it. If I do, then it's going to be in some sort of humiliating or degrading way.
He's
going to
blow himself or violate
yeah, or
himself.
Or they're
going to
do it into, like, you know, a baby bottle or have, like, an inflatable sheep nearby, something like that. Like,
oh, he's got to beat off into a baby bottle?
Yeah, I mean, drink it. They're not just going to be able to just sit there and look at
me. Well, it's the same thing for me at home.
And drink it?
Yeah, well, you know.
They got to drink it, really?
Yeah.
Through the nipple there?
Yes.
I don't know if mine would make... I guess if you modified the nipple, I can do it. And so it's into the baby bottle, and they got to have, like, the sheep and
yeah,
and,
or and just not do it.
Now, what do you got to do to get them to...
No wonder they don't want to do it.
Achieve... yeah, it's like, honey, I got to bust a nut. Yeah, into the bottle, and then down the hatch. He's like, I'll beat off in the car on the way home. Thanks. And so... The guy's beating on, beating on them, and did they get to see any part of you? And what's their? Do you have a safe word?
Yeah, usually it's mercy. Some of them have like the light system, like red, green, yellow. Red is when you know they're at their limit; they can't take any more. Yellow is when you're approaching the limit.
What if you just start out and the guy goes red?
Then I would probably have him reconsider what he's doing, because I mean I will always start out, you know, lightly, and then you build.
But when you get now, have you ever crossed the line? I mean, you ever, you know, once in a while, you think you're going to give someone a little snap with the towel or whack in the ass, and you realize after you do it, wow, I hit them pretty hard, or it made a mark.
I do. I mean, I tend to leave marks anyway, just because I play in that sort of style. But I mean, it's always, you work up to sort of a crescendo, and you can read people's body language, so you can sort of tell after a while, you know, how they're handling it, and if it's working for them, if it's not, if you need to pull back a little.
Sure. The guy's wearing one of those baby bonnets, and he's crying and beating off into a bottle. You get a pretty good read on a man.
Yeah.
All right, Victoria, hold on. We got to take a break.
Okay. We're not done with her.
Yeah. Nah, I'm very interested in this whole dominatrix thing, and it is so royally effed up. It is so twisted. And everybody, you know, everyone's into that sort of like, well, that's just his thing, and that's just her thing. No, whatever floats your boat.
There's nothing, listen, they should enjoy it. Nothing wrong with it, but it means something.
Yeah, you're weird. You're weirdo. I would never hang. If I found out someone was, I would not hang out with them. Weirdo. 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 All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
So we're done with Victoria?
We'll just check out with her. We spoke to Victoria for quite some time about being a dominatrix. I'm always interested in how this works and what goes on. She's a pro. We'll just kind of wrap it up here. Victoria? Anything weird ever happen to you? Any client ever attack you or anything like that?
No, it's not uncommon for clients to sort of feel guilty about what they've done afterwards, and so they'll have little crying episodes every once in a while.
Right.
Need like sort of a come down time.
Fetal position. You stroke their head while they suck out of their jizz laden bottle and they suck that down.
Yeah, every once in a while, you know, somebody will go through that sort of thing, and but you know, then they're fine. And
what is your? I'm guessing that your guys are predominantly white and predominantly upper middle class kind of guys who make a decent living.
Yeah, they are, and it's
who can afford $200 an hour?
$160.
Well, I mean, guys that are really interested in it that don't, you know, make a lot of money will save up for it, and they are really ritualistic about it. You know, like they save up, and every, you know, 8 or 9 weeks when they do have the money, they'll be able to come in.
But you don't really, you've never had a black guy.
Oh, yeah, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Wow. But it's like, it was like Al Roker black guy, not regular black guy, right?
No, I've seen, you know, all kinds of...
Seen everything.
But
it's 99 white, though, right?
Yeah, and I can definitely sort of pinpoint certain fetishes with culturally. I mean, you know, certain cultures are into certain fetishes I've noticed more often than...
Yeah, like what? Give us an example.
Yeah.
Hispanic men generally tend to be into ball busting and, you know, ball kicking, that sort of thing.
Oh, really? Ball busting?
How do you prevent from actually harming somebody if you're doing that?
What is that? You just tee up the guy's balls and take a fungo bath to him, or how does that work?
You know, sometimes they want to be in certain positions, you know, usually just all fours on the floor, that sort of a thing. But they're really into feet and legs, and ball busting is definitely...
Mexican guys like sack trauma.
Yeah, basically.
They traumatize their balls.
All right,
keep going.
Asian men, humiliation and degradation.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, severely. Puppy training, they like to be treated like dogs. just as much as you can humiliate and degrade
There's
them.
So much comedy on this.
Yeah.
Black men, I've noticed, are...
You don't see any black
they're
men.
What?
Black men are generally more into sort of like manhandling, like just being rough, you know, slapping, kicking.
Yeah, but you've only seen one black guy in 4 years. So.
No, I'm a veterinarian. You'd be surprised.
Keep going. Anything else?
Middle Eastern men also into the severe degradation, much like, you know, the Asian men, just very, you know, as much as you can annihilate them, just spit in their face, whatever, that sort of a thing.
Right. But then they go home and beat the crap out of their wives.
Who knows?
It's great, yeah.
Probably.
I like the Mexican guy with the sack blasting. Although I'm betting you don't see too many Mexican guys in there either.
No, not that often because generally Hispanic men are...
Yeah, I know, because life beats the crap out of them already. Well, the guys who work hard and get their ass kicked around every day,
it's enough.
Not interested in paying. You know what they want to pay for? BJ and a beer. They want what they're not getting.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Never known a guy to be into this. But anyway, Victoria was enlightening. Getting naked, beating off into a bottle,
drinking your own semen, and then prancing about like a horse. What do they make the horses do? Crap on themselves and stuff?
I think they got to make the horse noises and stuff. Victoria?
Yes.
What about the equestrian guys, the guys who have to act like horses?
They're generally overweight white men.
But what do they? What do you make them do?
They have to prance right. They have to stand right. You know, they have to mm-hmm. you know, make the right noises. And
so they have to like
perform.
Are there other guys?
Road apples?
Like, what if a guy runs into somebody from the office or something?
Some men are kind of nervous about that, like if they come in that they're going to run into other people. Cause, I mean,
especially when they're prancing around the equestrian ring.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
With the Cinderella's carriage being pulled behind them with a bunch of women with whips riding aboard.
Well, we try and keep the clients separate, you know, like when they're in the building so they don't really have that issue.
Smart.
So much, but.
All right, and then what's appropriate tip?
Generally, it's half the bill is what is customary. Yeah,
it's $200 an hour here.
Yeah. So. Okay. So $160, I give you $75-$80, huh?
Right.
All right. And you got guys you have guys you see once a week for every week for long periods of time?
Oh yeah.
And the guys physically restrained? I mean, what's to keep them from swinging back?
Well, I mean, if they're there, it's because they want to be there first.
But you know what I mean? It's an impulse.
Well, but
it's a very mutual thing.
Yeah, but they're nude and her stiletto heel is on their nutsack. They're not making a move.
But you know what I mean? I mean, it's a natural impulse.
It's a natural impulse for you or I, but it's not going to be a natural impulse for a guy who...
So traumatized.
...is going to drink a bottle full of his own stew.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
How much for this? Oh, yeah, I want to give an extra big tip for that great idea about beating off into that bottle and then swilling it down. Thank you. That's for you, baby. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I got a question for you guys. When I have an erect penis here.
Uh-huh.
Well, not exactly right now. Anyhow. Is it normal or is it fixable to straighten it out if it's crooked? I've heard a terminology. I can't remember what it was.
Peyronie's disease. Take some vitamin E. Take about 800 units of vitamin E a day. Sometimes that straightens things out. And if you want to get a fix, I mean, it really has to be severely curved, usually problems with erection, pain with erection, difficulty sustaining erection, and realize that they correct the curve by shortening the penis. Not something you're probably really that interested in.
Talked to Victoria for 14 minutes and 28 seconds. We talked to Jason for 46 seconds.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Matt?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, you're 23. What's up?
Okay. Well, yesterday somebody called in and accused Adam of being a racist, as I remember. And I wanted to defend you because I don't think that you are a racist.
Mm. Well, as I said, I'm not a racist, and therefore I'm freed up to be a racist. See what I'm saying? I say whatever I want about anybody all the time.
Right.
And let's face it. Go ahead and defend me, though.
Sure. Well, the point I wanted to make was that when you make a joke that refers to, like, a racial stereotype or an ethnic stereotype, I think that it's the same thing as when you make a joke that refers to, like, how nice the type of car is or what sports teams suck or whatever or are good. It's like you're referring to a common notion that everyone's aware of, whether they actually believe it or whether it's a true notion or not. It's something that everyone sort of knows about, and you're doing that to make a joke. It's like a reference point. It's not done out of malice, you know.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, listen, Matt.
Sure.
Thanks, by the way.
No
not
problem.
Sure if I want Matt representing me in court. I appreciate what was the message behind the muddled message, but here's what I'm saying to everyone who's listening. I say tons of horrible things on the air all the time about many, many, many people.
Everybody.
And everybody.
You don't leave anyone out.
No, and this is going to break into races once in a while, too. I do believe there are differences in races, some good, some bad. I don't believe that makes me a racist, because I recognize that certain groups have a greater capacity for X, Y, or Z. That includes white people as well. Do you know what I'm saying? Furthermore, I don't think it makes you a racist by saying, in general, Japanese work a little harder, study a little harder, do a little better in tests. I don't think positive differences makes you into racist. Or if it does, why? If you really want to just sit back and think about a compliment that is heading toward one group or another, why that's so? Why people take such great offense to that? But yeah, I recognize that there's a difference between certain groups, and I'll point it out. And I'll point out any difference between any people, whether it's your religion or your race or whether it's your height or your weight. It doesn't matter to me. Here's my whole point. I don't have anything against anybody, and I don't want to come up here and be inhibited in any way. I just say what comes into my mind. I don't want to edit myself. I don't even think that people are listening to this show. And as you know, probably the worst people I've ever spoken about on this show has to do with my immediate family.
Yes.
I mean, I've called my dad a pussy 750 times on this, and it's not like he's alive. He has a radio. He lives in the city. I know he never listens to the show, so I'm confident about that. But I call my dad a pussy all the time. My dad is a pussy. That's just how I choose to conduct myself. Drew? Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. And listen, I don't think anything's taboo is what I'm saying. You want to talk about a race, talk about a race. Who cares? And there's certain issues that we do try to sweep under the carpet and turn into racial things or turn into non-racial things, such as some of this birth control stuff and some of these things like this, and everyone's scared S-less to talk about it. I'm not. I don't care.
Well,
because
interested in the truth.
The interest in the truth.
That's all.
There we go.
Hey, can I say one more thing?
Yeah. Oh, and interested in being funny, really.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Point. And by the way, I'm sorry, Matt, for cutting you off.
No problem.
Not interested in what offended people think of me. Way too much of that going on in this society. You know, we made fun of Scientology. Everyone made a big deal about it. Scientology wrote us a big, long-winded letter, wanted us to apologize. We told Scientology to kiss my hairy ass, and they never wrote us another letter. They're pussies. They're cowards. Who cares? I have GLAAD wanting me to apologize for stuff. These guys taking it in the ass. No sense of humor. I can't imagine that, but I've laughed at them. I have this Asian American group. It's called like Man or something like that. They want me to apologize to them. I tell them to kiss my ass. They leave me alone. So that's it.
Right.
Thanks, buddy.
All I wanted to say was that you're doing it for humor, not for malice. That's my main point.
That's right. And there's way too much backpedaling going on in this society. And by the way, here's the thing I can't figure out either, Drew. I got a couple things to say. Now I'm all fired up. I got censored the second day I did Jimmy Kimmel's show for saying fudge pack, and I got censored for saying a-hole, and a-hole, not asshole,
right.
A-hole, and I got censored for saying bejesus.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing, and ABC, such a pack of homo fruits. I mean, what pussies, what exquisite pussies these ABC guys have to be. But Jesus, really? You pussies can't let that slide? You do 1,000 shows where I'm seeing guys nosh out on your yak sphincter all day long, and I can't say but Jesus on a late night radio show? Really?
Fun.
Oh, TV show? Yeah, I guess I'm saying on the radio show. This is it. And the fudge packing thing had a context. Jimmy was talking to me about, he was talking to Hugh Hefner. And he was saying to Hef that he wanted to be like Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. Someday somebody was going to have to take over for Hef.
Right.
And he wanted to be Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that I was the fat kid who
fell. He wanted to be Charlie.
He wanted to be Charlie. Yeah. And he was telling me I was the fat kid who fell in the sea of
Augustus
whatever.
Squid.
Yeah. He was giving a whole thing. And he was talking about going to the candy thing. And I said, you should know that, you know, this guy's a champion fudge packer. It got a big laugh, and it made sense within the context of the candy thing.
Yeah.
So they bleep out my fudge packing. Then I told Hef we were going to take him backstage and beat the bejesus out of him, and they go, bejesus? Really, those pussies got to be bejesus. And then a-hole, which I don't know. If they got a policy about me saying a-hole, not asshole, a-hole.
Can you say effing or S?
Evidently not. Evidently not.
You can't say who gives an ass.
Yeah, but here's the part that makes me the most mad is the bejesus part. Are we scared of these religious pussies? Really? Really? And by the way, what about the, I don't know, 80% of the audience who's not offended by bejesus? The 98% of the late night Jimmy Kimmel audience is not offended by bejesus. They don't know what I'm talking about now. What about them? Do we have to kowtow to the religious right all the time about everything? Do they really care? And if they do care, tell them to shut the F up. Shut up. Yeah. Hey, Scientology, send another letter. Ha! Send it. Send it. It's funny for us. Send it, all you a-holes. Send letters.
Then just shut up.
Send it. It's a good time. Scientology, what did people tell us with them? But don't cross Scientology. Oh, don't cross them. They'll ruin your life. They're scary people. You'll never get them off your back. Well, they sent one letter. We made fun of you. Where's the follow-up? Where is it? How long's it been, Drew?
Maybe they have a sense of humor now.
No, they don't. You know why they don't send any more letters? Because they know we don't care. They get nothing. Go ahead. Start a boycott, you pussies. Keep the gun. Send another letter, Scientology. I'd love to read it. It's funny. It's funny to me. And you Asian group, send a letter. And the gays, send a letter. All send a letter. I enjoy them. Got nice ass-wiping material. Yeah, write the station. Go ahead. Get a boycott going. Be my guest. Yeah, but you won't do it, will you? Why? You get nothing. You don't get anything. So it's no fun for you. It's only fun when people are scared and people are apologizing and people are backpedaling. Because that's the only time you feel good about yourself. And the letter's not for anything other than to get people to backpedal. And they don't backpedal, then no letter. Send them. Come on, you hypocrite cowards. Send those letters. Scientology. Send it. Let's have it. What happened? You didn't get what you wanted. You demanded an apology and we told you to blow us. Now what? No follow-up? Why not? Come on, be men.
Kelly?
Yeah?
Hey, what's going on?
Sorry, I'm really nervous.
All right.
That's all right.
I've been with my boyfriend for just a month when we just started going out, and I just have a problem staying with relationships. Like, it's hard to say, but I really my friends always call me, like, the horny girl, because I just want to go, like, with all different guys. I mean, I can't stick to one person, and it's really hard. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What to, like, I go out to a lot of parties and stuff, and I just find new people, and it's just my friends are getting mad at me and stuff and saying that I'm a horrible person.
What's it doing for you to do all that?
Nah.
What?
They call you the horny girl? It's like that John Wayne movie, The Quiet Man.
I don't know. I just, like, I can't. I
are you
don't
drinking
want to be in a relationship. I just can't handle it. Like, I just want to have fun, and I just...
Are you drinking or doing drugs when you do this stuff?
What?
Are you drinking or doing drugs when you do this?
I mean, I do some stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Are you completely intoxicated when you do this?
Well, I know what I'm doing.
And
it's just easier.
How many guys you been with?
I've only had sex with two guys, but
no.
I do a lot more than that. Like,
what are you doing? Oral sex?
Yeah.
You're worried about STDs?
How often are you doing that?
Well, right now I've been trying to be good, but
yeah, no, it's tough. I try not to blow guys once, but it's like, forget it. Every year, it's my New Year's resolution.
Well, that's what learned. New Year's is horrible.
All right. And, Kelly, did something happen to you recently that sort of upset you and you've been kind of trying to deal with?
Yeah, I don't know. I've just been going more crazy. I don't know.
And before that, I mean, something set you off, something depressing?
I've lived a normal life, like nothing like any of the callers.
No, but was anything happening that depressed you, anything going on lately?
No, not at
relationship and parents divorce,
no.
Somebody die, anything
nothing that's going to get you whatsoever.
Going. And
I've just been like this, and like I've just been trying to be good, but I just don't think
hey, Kayla, answer the question. Any manic depression in the family?
Yeah.
Who's that?
My mom.
Okay, mom's bipolar. So possibly you got that same gene going, right?
Yeah.
That same condition. And you know part of that condition is hypersexuality.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So you've been feeling manic? Or you've been not sleeping much?
I'd never sleep. Like,
yeah. So you're kind of...
Oh, I'm manic.
Yeah.
Good work.
See how she's so sped up? The speech is all sped up and tangential.
I was just screaming for the last 10 minutes, so I don't know.
Well, it's compared to yours, it gets slowed down. But, Kelly, it sounds like this is, as much as anything, there may be other stuff going on too, but at least some component of this is getting hypomanic. And, boy, if you really are serious about feeling better and doing something about this, you know, you before something, you start engaging in behaviors where you really end up hurting yourself, mm-hmm. getting an STD or pregnant, whatever. When you're at college now, why don't you go by the student health services and get an evaluation? Sometimes it feels a lot better when you come in for a landing after a hypomanic episode.
She's in college?
She says she's in college and she just got to college.
She's just calling from Santa Cruz and it seems like she should be in college.
Oh. Are you in college?
Yeah, junior college.
Ooh, right. Well, it's still mental health service there.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's one guy with a wind-up beanie and he's got one of those plastic corn cob pipes blowing bubbles. That's the guy who's in charge of mental health services at the junior college. Sean, you're like, I'm having manic episodes. Like, you want a granola bar? I'm having manic episodes. So you don't want the granola bar? That's all they have there, Drew.
Whatever. She needs something, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, good times.
Yeah.
Scott?
Adam and Drew.
Scott. Yeah.
What's happening?
What's going on?
Here's my query. I am able to have orgasms from intense physical exertion, like pull-ups. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if that is normal.
How about like leg lifts, sit-ups, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing too.
Yeah, it's usually pulling the lower abdominal muscles, tightening them. That's what does it for some people this talent.
When you say orgasm, do you mean something comes out of you, or do you mean you have the sensation, or both?
Both, actually.
So, I mean...
Something comes out.
Yeah.
And you have the sensation just the same as if you were beating off?
Yeah, pretty much the same, but my muscles are like just exhausted at the point when I have it.
Do you get an erection?
Barely, not much.
Wow.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's good times. I mean, just stuff like a dish towel or something down your trunks before you hit the gym.
Okay.
I mean, that's
it's
just,
it's not unheard of. Yeah, it's not unheard of.
What about when you're with a woman, though?
Normal.
Normal?
Yeah.
Do you have normal endurance?
Yeah, I think so.
Or do you have the ninja's control?
No, not ninja. Definitely not ninja.
We're not all ninjas.
Rain Man. Definitely
no ninja.
Oh, what's all good right. tonight?
Let's take a little break.
Yeah.
You say?
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's in here tomorrow night?
Lauren.
Man.
Lauren.
Vandals.
Vandals, yeah.
How many times I got to tell Ann to put that stupid piece of paper up that has a guest on it?
Dickie might be coming this week, too, right?
Maybe Dickie, maybe Green, Janine Groff, a whole lore.
Yeah.
Ah. She's doing Jimmy's show all week.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very upset about this war thing.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Hanoi Janine, I was calling her today. Yeah, she's very mad. Not a big fan. You know those artists are, though, Drew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too bad we got no art in us, huh? Melissa?
Uh-huh.
Ooh. 16?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What's up, baby doll?
A, B, C, D.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that, if memory serves, was done by like a 16 or 17-year-old woman, that A, B, C, D thing.
I think it was like somewhere in her 20s.
She's like 24.
Oh, she could have been in her 20s, yeah. I mean... It's funny. It doesn't come home until you get, well, that's a genius of Ace, but
yeah.
Telling her to do the alphabet in a sing-song way, it's like, now it sounds, you have a context. Because when they're talking about inflamed vulvas, you know, it's like, all right, you got the little girl voice, but you're talking like a trailer.
Yeah.
You're talking about a sailor, you know, but the ABCD thing is scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Melissa,
mm-hmm.
give us the alphabet.
Sing-song.
C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, B, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and
7.
Yeah, the first one was more like 3 or 4.
This is 7.
A, B, C, D.
Yep.
Yeah, that's 3 or 4, and you got the 7 or 8.
This is 7.
Can Melissa say more Jell-O, please, Mom?
Yeah.
Huh?
Say more Jell-O, please, Mom.
Okay.
You ready? And action.
So what happened when you were 7?
Nothing happened that I was 7 that I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she's just a small person.
No.
No?
Or maybe if I'm lucky, my voice will mature as I get older.
No.
You think when I'm like 20-something, I'll still
Well, if you smoke enough by the time you hit menopause, you may sound like one of Marge Simpson's sisters.
I may sound normal.
No, what happened? Do you remember your childhood?
A few memories that stick out here and there.
Okay, how come you don't remember things?
I remember things.
Well, all right. Well, let's just start asking the normal questions. Where's your dad?
Where's my dad? My dad is in Tennessee.
And how old were you when he left?
About 4.
And why did he leave?
Basically, just him and my mother were having a lot of problems.
Like what?
Just like, didn't get along very well, just like a lot of arguments.
Mm-hmm. Was there physical violence?
They didn't get along.
Yeah. No, just a lot of like arguing and just, you know, not.
Do you remember that?
I can remember like a few arguments, but they've pretty much tried to keep.
Were they
like,
scary?
No, not really.
Did a stepdad come along?
Actually, yeah.
When?
When I was about 5 or 6.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
And what kind of guy is he?
He's a fairly good guy. I mean, we have our disagreements and our problems, mm-hmm. you know, with anybody that gets along in their life, but...
Sure.
I mean, but...
Stepbrothers?
I have 3 stepbrothers, actually.
Ooh. Now, how old are they now?
19, 18, and 16.
Mm-hmm. They ever have any trouble with them?
No, actually, we get along fine, but mm-hmm. they're currently living with my stepmom and my father in Tennessee.
Hold on a second. I gotta digest that.
Does that mean that her stepdad's kids?
All right, let me try to figure this out.
I need a diagram.
Okay, her dad moved out. Stepdad came in.
Mm-hmm. Brought 3 kids.
Just like Mike Brady.
Yep.
Brought 3 sons. And the sons are currently living with her stepmother.
Who?
And dad in
her
Tennessee.
Her biological dad. Her dad.
Yeah, I think she screwed something up there.
Unless stepmom and stepdad were once married.
Melissa?
They're the sons of my stepmother. So that's how they're my stepbrothers. They're my stepmother.
They didn't live with you. They didn't come with the stepdad.
No, because both of my parents are remarried, but they're the children from my stepmother.
Oh, they never showed up.
Well, yeah, because when both of my parents were remarried...
All right, I'm down. And, yeah?
You first lived with your dad?
No, I've always lived with my mother.
All right. The new stepdad, good guy. When did you lose your virginity?
when I was 15.
All right. How old was the guy?
The guy was about
19.
My age.
All right. Well, it all checks out. So what's the problem? Drew's stumped. So am I.
No, I'm not stumped. But I'm tired.
No, stepdad wasn't alcoholic or abusive or anything good?
No.
All right. Everything's good.
Mama, no one ever touched you in ways that you didn't like?
Not without my permission.
No molestation, no physical abuse?
No.
Okay. So the question is... Is your boyfriend comes too quickly
mm-hmm.
for you?
Mm-hmm.
How old's your boyfriend?
My boyfriend is 17.
And how long you been with him?
I've been with him probably around 3 months now.
3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you guys using for protection?
We rarely use protection.
Why?
Right.
Were you trying to get pregnant?
Actually, that was another question that I had to ask for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there's like a big like. You know, pregnancy scare type thing, but I have an irregular period. I probably have my period probably approximately around once every 3 months.
Well, so you're going to be pregnant 3 months before you figure
yeah,
out you're pregnant.
So I was wondering, like, if that would, like, interfere with, like, a pregnancy test.
No.
No. So I could take a pregnancy test now and it will,
yes.
The results won't be affected by that.
Right.
Yeah. You got to get on some birth control, Melissa.
Yeah, my mom is actually making me an appointment to go see the gynecologist.
All right,
that's good. No screwing until you get this straightened out, all right?
But yeah, because I was kind of wondering that, too, because it's like, I don't have my period every month, so
yeah.
By the time like my period's coming around and I don't have it, what, I'll be like 3 months pregnant by then?
Yes.
Right.
Your kid will be in junior high.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was thinking about going to get a pregnancy test, but I was wondering if the results would be affected by that.
Yeah, well, hold on a second.
We just answered that one.
We took this lap. A few minutes ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, babe.
Okay, thank you.
No, well, listen. Your boyfriend comes too quick. There's not a whole lot we can do about that.
How long does it take?
Oh, like about 2-3 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like he has no problem getting an erection.
Yeah, we know.
After he comes, it's like he gets hard again fairly quickly.
Oh, that's good.
It's just that once we start getting it on, it's like he can't control it, and he just comes like so quick.
All right, but he gets going again, right?
Yeah, but it's so frustrating, though, because it's like it's not enough for me to get satisfied.
Yeah, but he gets going again. Why not go another round?
Well, because it's like by then I've like lost practically all my arousal to try to like to play with him to get him back up again. And then by the time like he's hard again and I'm up for it again and he does it and then it's just gone again.
Yeah. Does he and give you oral sex?
Yeah, actually he does.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I like it just fine, but I mean,
well, listen,
I'd rather have the dick.
Yeah, what's a dick? I don't know. You're breaking my heart, baby.
Something's very wrong, Melissa.
Yeah. Is it? I got that. My hairs on the back of my neck are standing up.
I'm sure about it. In a hospital or anything, or medicines or.
Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
You ever go to a hospital and get treated for anything?
No. Get treated for what specifically?
How the F do I know specifically what you got treated for?
Like any type of, like, are you talking about, like, STD or other
things? No, I just mean, you ever have any physical problem where you have to be checked into a hospital?
No.
Emotional?
No emotional stuff?
Mm-mm.
No medications?
No.
Not on any medications?
Mm-mm.
No one ever wanted you to be on any medication?
No.
No one ever asked that you speak to a counselor about something?
Actually, I've had to speak to a counselor.
Why?
My 8th grade year, well, I just got into a lot of problems at school, and then I guess, like, supposedly they, like, I don't know, they wanted me to talk to some counselor to unveil some type of, like, traumatic childhood experiences or something.
Yeah, well, we're getting that, too, big time, Melissa.
but I only talked to, like, the counselor, like, a few times.
Yeah, well, the counselor was on to something. I mean, both of us are you know.
Yeah, nothing traumatic, huh?
No, why would you suggest that?
Just the way you're talking.
Makes us feel that way. That's how we feel.
Yeah.
And why does it make you feel that way?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I mean, we could lay it all out, but there's no time for it.
Yeah. I don't know. Drew and I both feel like there was some trauma.
We've been going down this path since we started talking to you, just based on a couple little hints we had. And now we're totally convinced. Now there's absolutely no doubt in my mind.
So please tell us something.
There's nothing.
Nothing. All right. Okay.
Well, it might have been trauma around the marriage breakup of your kid.
Yeah, that's not it.
But who knows what the hell.
All right. Well, we're wrong once in a while.
No.
Well, I think I was too young to really be affected.
By what?
By, like, my parents' divorce.
The younger you are, the more you're affected by everything.
Really?
What's your dad do?
Hmm?
What's your dad do for a living?
My dad's actually on disability right now. He has hepatitis C.
So he's an IV drug user.
No, actually, he got it. He was in, like, a motorcycle accident, like, a really long time ago, and I guess it was something through, like, the transfusion or something. Like, they didn't screen it, like, a lot. Like,
that happens.
Then.
It happens, yeah. He never did drugs, though.
Well, he did drugs, but nothing, like, injected.
As
far as you know. So this is
My parents are fairly open with that, and so I don't think that he would confess to, like, the other drug uses.
Is he in recovery now?
No, he's actually, he drinks.
Yeah.
But not really like a raging alcoholic or anything.
All right. We can get into this. I think he rides a bike around, does the drugs.
Yeah.
There's something going on. Now he's on disability. Disability is just drug addicts, basically, and people with mental disorders.
Well, not just.
Yeah. Well, about 90%. 90%. Now, people who really want to work can find a way to work. But there's 10% of them who can't, but hepatitis C doesn't mean you can't work.
No,
by the way,
right.
It's not even close to not working.
Right.
I know people who have hepatitis C and they go to work. Pam Anderson has hepatitis C. Can't get that bitch off the television.
Right.
Kidding me? There's something up. All right, you're right. Something major with daddy. All right, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're done.
Okay.
All right, baby. Good times. All right.
Alrighty, you have a nice night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, what do we care?
I don't care.
You care?
You guys care for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I know.
Talked to her forever. She's not giving it up. Okay. Let's talk to Ann. Ann?
Hey.
Sorry, we're out of time.
What's going on?
Well, I have a question about tampon usage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 24 years old, and they've always been uncomfortable to the point where I wouldn't want to use them unless I had to if I was swimming or something.
Have you tried different brands?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And I mean, like in high school, you know, I mean, and even still, you know, these days, I would just, you know, vary the brands, try to get like the smaller ones or whatever and stuff. And they've always been just, you know, too noticeable for me. But all of a sudden now, they're fine. And I can't even feel them.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So I was just wondering why.
What changed?
Is there an explanation for the change?
Maybe it's the new Ultra Glide applicator, Drew.
Well, no, I don't.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't know. What changes in a woman where a tampon becomes... I'm the same way with butt plugs. For a while, it was very difficult.
Did it suddenly become uncomfortable, but it had had it always been uncomfortable?
No, it's always...
Always been uncomfortable.
Always been uncomfortable, and right. Now it's like...
All right, and when did it start becoming comfortable?
Did you say when did it start becoming comfortable?
Yes.
This month. Yeah.
Birth control pills?
Pardon?
Are you on a new pill or something?
I'm not. I don't take birth control.
Any medication?
Just like asthma inhalers.
Asthma medicine.
Hmm.
No.
All right. Well, whatever it is, you broke in your coos. Mazel tov.
That's the thing.
I wonder if she's allergic to them or something.
Whatever. She's comfortable now. Right. It's not gift horse in the snatch. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. All right. Drew. Let's power through some calls now. I don't got time for you and your shenanigans anymore. Who do you want to talk to? Line one?
Yeah.
Amy? You're 20. What is she drawing?
21.
Can't see it from here. Bend that screen down, would you?
Sure. What's up?
Thank you. 21. What's up?
I was calling because I have problems masturbating and that I can't orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been able to?
I did once many years ago. And it really didn't have very much to do with anything I was doing. It just had to do with basically making out. And so it was kind of a fluke in my mind.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I do now.
Are you guys kind of working on it?
You're not having sex, though.
Right.
When do you plan to have sex?
When I'm married.
When you're married?
Yeah.
Well...
That may be when you start having orgasms.
Does he perform oral sex on you?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, plan on maybe not having an orgasm for a while, though.
Well, but I don't understand why, you know, women do it all the time alone, and yet...
Not everybody.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't.
Can you do it alone?
No, I can't.
Well, I would speculate that might be attached to your just general sensibilities about your religious person.
Mm-hmm.
And religious folks don't beat off real well, or they beat off too good.
But more than that, a lot of women, the whole experience of masturbation doesn't sort of feel good. It doesn't make sense. It's hard for a guy to understand this.
Especially to one who has religious sensibilities
I really feel like that's a problem. I mean, I've made that decision, but I don't feel that there's a problem with masturbation, you know.
Right, right. So. A woman needs to, first of all, it doesn't happen automatically. It's not an easy thing to have. It's not like a male where it just pow happens.
Right.
It's something that you need to sort of figure out. And it requires, as you found out, you had an orgasm once when you're in intense emotional connection with someone. It requires sort of an emotional experience, some sort of a place where you can let these feelings evolve. It's very different than a male. Most women, for many women anyway.
And men, we have to go to that special place too. It's called what, Drew?
The bathroom?
The earth.
The earth.
Right? I mean...
I'm not sure it even has to be the earth.
To have sex. We have to go to that special little place. It's It's called the planet Earth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it wouldn't necessarily be, if we colonized the moon, then it would be the moon.
There too, yeah.
Right. Or on the way to the moon, I guess. Yeah. Technically. I want to talk to Danny, who's been on hold for, 106? 107 minutes?
Yeah.
Let's make it 107 exactly.
56, 57,
58, 59. And
107.
There you go. Danny.
Yeah.
107 on hold.
Yeah.
13 years of age.
Yeah.
Got to be close to 14 by now.
Yeah. My birthday's in like a month.
Yeah. So, says here that you're...
That's the joke.
I know. Yeah. Says here that you're thrilled that your girlfriend may give you a BJ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She's
13
also.
Fantastic.
13. What grade you in, Danny boy?
I'm in eighth.
Eighth grade. She's in eighth grade?
Yeah.
When did you discuss the whole BJ situation?
I haven't yet. But I think she wants to, too.
Without it being discussed, you figured that was on her mind?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I just kind of... I could tell if she wants to, kind of.
That 13-year-old knows.
Well,
you're seasoned.
Not any 13-year-old. Danny knows.
Danny. You've been around the jungle gym more than once, right?
Yeah.
You know, he knows the lay of the land. It's not like he's some sixth grader, Drew.
Yeah.
Guy's 13 now. He's a man. In the Jewish faith, he'd be a man. Yes, Danny?
Yeah. I'm not Jewish.
Right. Oh, we know, because you wouldn't be in line for a BJ at 13.
No.
Jewish guys don't get blown until after they get out of law school.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so... Or med school.
You're racist.
Well, it's true. Come on. Believe me, I know a bunch of Jewish kids, and at 13, no group looks less like a man than a Jew at 13. It's all teeth and hair, braces, yarmulke perched up on top of that big hair. It's crazy. Hey, so Danny...
Yeah.
I don't know what your question is.
Oh, I just want to know, like, what are the risks? Like, anything that could happen?
No.
Here's the main risk.
I mean, there are risks out there, but 13-year-old virgins do not have much risk. You can get sexually transmitted diseases from
oral sex. Here's the major risk, though. The risk is that you move along too fast at the tender age of 13 and maybe move her along a little too fast and... The relationship suffers, and she suffers a little. That's the real risk, the emotional stuff.
Yeah. You get too close to somebody.
Do you like her?
Yeah.
You guys in love?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a pretty heavy word at 13. And to be that close with somebody you're that intimate may not be something everybody's really ready for.
Yes. All right, so slow it down a little bit.
Please.
Not that...
You farting?
Let a big one go, yeah. See if we get anything out of that.
Jesus Christ. Vicky.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, not
too good?
What?
Hang on just a second.
Not much there, but you know...
Oh, a little bit, though. A
little something. Oh. You know what I do? You know my new move? Vicky, you're going to like this one. Almost every night I skip rope for about 20 minutes before I come in here. That's why I come in all sweaty. And I skip rope, and you little shout out.
Yeah.
When you skip rope, you really get those step farts. You know,
Yeah.
You know, it's just rhythmic. You don't fart in the air. You fart, you know, when the foot hits the ground.
Right.
And I put three or four together. It's kind of funny. But then the swirling action of the rope, you know, whipping by, really whips it into a nice meringue.
That's nice.
Very quickly. That's nice. Yeah, and it's good. You know, it burns fast, but it burns bright.
Vicky, you had a question? how to stir a fart?
Yeah.
I just had a question because I was listening to you guys and Melissa earlier.
Yeah.
And you said something about having a young voice means you had trauma in your childhood.
No, a baby voice.
Yeah.
You hear her voice? You heard Melissa?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a normal woman's voice.
Oh, well, because everyone always tells me I have a baby voice.
No, you don't. No, no, it's not what we're talking about.
Oh,
we can tell you don't have what we react to.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Are we right? You never had any trauma in childhood or anything?
Well, I had, like, depression as a child, but
that's it.
That
ain't it.
No.
No. Okay.
You're fine, baby doll.
You're just... This is a small person voice.
I'm not a small person.
Mm.
I'm 5'6". I'm, like, average.
Average person.
What, about 160?
No.
A little lighter.
What? Yeah, a little bit.
All right, baby.
Not like I'm scrawny, though.
Yeah, baby, no. All right. You sound like you got all in all the right places. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm curvy.
All right, man. Good times. You take care of yourself, you know, right?
There's something. There's an energy there, but it's not what we usually get.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right, baby doll.
Guys.
Hey, good times, huh?
Bye.
Hey. See how many times I can work in baby doll and good times in one call. All right, Drew, where are we going? Who's got a problem? I need to fix kids.
Steven's got
That's
a problem.
My drug, fixing kids. You know what I'm saying?
Steven?
Yeah.
Science, ooh, you're 12?
Yeah.
You're, where are you calling from?
El Sobrani.
Where's that?
In California.
Okay.
Yeah, everything with an L in it has to either be in Texas, Arizona, or
Mexico,
California. Yeah, so we don't want the Mexicans to jump the border, but everything's got a goddamn L in it. What kind of strategy is that, Drew?
They used to own it, that's why.
I know, but we want to keep them out of Chula Vista and Isla Vista and all that, Los Angeles. Oh, come on.
All right, Stevens, what's the question?
Hang on one second.
All right.
He's running the water so nobody hears.
The door open like he's living in a haunted shed.
Deal with him. Make sure he gets reports that he got somebody touching him, he says.
Yeah, let's see if he's around. Steven?
What? Yeah. Oh, Dad.
I got the number. Huh. I made up this question after my science teacher was molesting me.
Oh.
It's in the question. No one even knows who I am. I made up a fake name.
We'll trace it, Steven. We will.
It's a radio show.
The science teacher's molesting me? Huh? Hello?
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Loveline. Who's this?
Oh, this is his son, and he's just telling you guys a story.
Why?
Why?
Well, why do you know it's a story?
That his science teacher's molesting him?
Yeah.
You tell him the truth, Mikey.
It was a lie.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you make that up?
I don't know.
Is your science teacher molesting you? With you. Hang
on. That's nice.
That was lovely.
That now we know why kids like that call a lie.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of that didn't go over the air with the dad being abusive to the kid.
Well, we just missed the F word there, right? Yeah. Why? What else have we missed, Drew?
I don't know how much he drops out. I don't know how much.
I don't know how much I can hear because it's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
All right. That's a little disturbing. We'll take a break.
All right.
Well, everybody, that's the show. Who's in tomorrow night?
The Vandals.
Vandals. Love them Vandals. Yeah, so does Drew.
I know. I like those guys.
You got something to talk to them about? Disneyland.
Right? You betcha.
All right. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Say more Jell-O, please, Mom.
Okay.
You ready? And action.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.